It is really good to see everyone here this morning, and I hope you are having a wonderful middle December. It is a great time to be together. I'm very thankful for you and for your presence here today. Well, this morning, we're going to take our study to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 43 through 48. You know, we've been studying through this great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. And he said so many things in this sermon. And as we're studying through them, we're learning about the kind of character that Jesus wants us to develop within our lives. And this is probably the most difficult section of the Sermon on the Mount to internalize and to make it our own, because it concerns loving our enemies. Let's read these verses together, verse 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What a tremendous challenge that Jesus sets before us in these verses. The challenge of loving our enemies. You know, I don't know that there is as great a challenge in the Scriptures as this. And this really tests our Christian mettle as to whether or not we are really God's people. Because loving our enemies takes a tremendous amount of work on our part. It's easy to love our quote-unquote enemies, those who are overseas, those who are far away from us, those who maybe don't interact with us on a daily basis. But what about that person that has just cussed you out? What about that person? What about the one who has just taken something that you wanted really bad in the shopping mall, right? What about someone who interferes with your life and throws things out of whack for the week, and now you've got to deal with cleaning up this great mess that this other person caused? What about that person? You see, it's the people who are the closest to us that a lot of times we mentally think about as our enemies when we need to be loving them. It's easy to love someone who's on the other side of the Pacific Ocean that's our enemy. You can do that all day long because you never have to interact with that person. But it's hard to love the person who's in your face demanding something of you right now. That kind of loving our enemies is what we're talking about here in this context. Now, Jesus is here contrasting the tradition of the Jews to God's truth. he has discussed several areas of concern: murder, adultery, lying, revenge. And now he turns toward attitudes regarding our enemies. The Jewish people had a lot of enemies. The Romans were their current biggest enemy. And they had to deal with them on a daily basis. When they went into the market, there were the Roman soldiers standing around and guarding things and making sure everyone behaved appropriately. Well, they didn't like that very much, because that was a foreign occupying power telling them, an independent nation, what to do. And that became an issue for many people. They hated the Romans for doing these things. And so they had developed this saying: love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what Jesus said here. If you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And you might say, well, where did they get that from? Is that in the Bible, to hate your enemies? And there are some passages in the Old Testament that speak about that to some degree. But I want to make a very fine distinction here that I believe is a biblical distinction. And one passage in the Old Testament that we read is Psalm 139, verses 21 and 22. And it says this. This is the attitude of the psalmist in regard to the enemies of God. And he says this. He says, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. So there's a passage in the Old Testament that seems to say, hate your enemies. But is that what it says? And is that what Jesus is talking about here? Well, the context of Psalm 139 is about hating the sin that the enemy is involved in. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? There's the sin of hatred of God. Those who rise up against you. And so the psalmist is expressing a hatred for sin, not the sinner. And I think that's an important distinction that we need to understand as we're thinking about this. Christians are to hate sin, but we are not to hate the sinner. And we need to separate those two. And why is that? Because people, all people, are made in the image of God. All people are people for whom Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. And we must respect that God loves them and wants them to be saved. But people do things that are wrong and that are hateful themselves. And they demonstrate their hatred and their action toward others. But as Christians, we must not hate the sinner, but have mercy and pity toward the sinner. And so, while the Jews in Jesus' day used this as an excuse to hate their enemy, not because of their sin, but because of who they were, Jesus calls us to a higher standard. He wants us to elevate our minds to the point where we look at people differently. We look at them as people who are in need of mercy and grace. Love your enemies. Why should we love our enemies? First of all, because that is Jesus' teaching. The word love here is the Greek word agape. And maybe you've heard that before. This kind of love involves seeking another person's physical and spiritual welfare. It's not so much a love, say, between a husband and a wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend. It's not that kind of love. It's not even the kind of love that we experience in our families, the familial love of fathers and children and mothers and daughters and that kind of thing. It's not that kind. It's not even the love of friendship that we have when we have a good friend that we hang out with and we enjoy their company. It's not even that love. This is a love of seeking another person's physical and spiritual well-being. And the idea is that regardless of how you treat me, I'm going to treat you well. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to practice righteousness toward you. Now, this kind of love doesn't come from our carnal relationships, our physical relationships. This kind of love only comes from God. 1 John 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is the personification of love. He is love. And what does that mean? It means that that is part of his being, part of his core. And if we're going to love anyone, it is a love that is informed by God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, we read, "But concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." God teaches us to love one another. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Have you ever had somebody curse you? I've had some people curse me. I've had more people curse me since I started officiating football than I had before. But I've had people curse me even before that. That's hard to deal with. That's difficult, you know, having someone curse you. But Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Wow, what a great challenge. How do I bless someone who is cursing me? Well, it takes a lot of help from God to do that. In Genesis 12 and verse 2, God told Abraham, he said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You shall be a blessing. His very life would bless other people. And that's what our lives need to do also. You know, when Abraham was quarreling, not Abraham himself, but his shepherds and his herders, his cattlemen, when they were quarreling with Lot's shepherds and herdsmen and cattlemen, they were quarreling over grazing rights. And Abraham came to Lot and he said this, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." That's the attitude that we've got to have in blessing others. And that day, Abraham was a blessing to Lot because he said, "Lot, you take whatever piece of land you want, and I'll take what you don't want." That was a blessing. In 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, we read, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." If someone reviles us, we're not to revile in turn. If someone curses us, we're not to curse in return. If something does something evil toward us, we're not to do something evil back to them. Bless those who curse you. Notice what Jesus says next. Do good to those who hate you. That's tough. Consider all the goodwill that love produces in relationships when it is practiced effectively. Love is able to bring people together. Even those who hate us, a loving attitude can win them over. There was a time when I was much younger, in high school, and a group of guys were stealing things from me. And I devised a method to catch them in their thefts. And when I ended up confronting them about it, I told them, I said, look, I would have happily shared what I had with you if you had asked me for that. And that attitude of love won them over. It was interesting because up to that point in the class, I was kind of a nobody, just kind of doing my own thing, working on my stuff. And after that, I became the most popular guy in class. I didn't intend to do that. It just kind of worked out that way. And those guys were perfectly nice to me from that point forward. Why? Because I loved my enemies. Now, I'm not saying it's always going to work out like that. Not all enemies are going to respond in that positive way. But some will. And you will win them over by practicing love. What does it mean to practice love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We need to practice love. It is the bond of perfection. Colossians 3 and verse 14. And then Jesus says this, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for them who use you and persecute you. You know, that's a hard thing to do also, because what do I usually want to pray for people who are spitefully using me and hurting me? My prayer is usually something like this, Lord, get them back for what they've done to me. That's a lot of times what people are thinking when someone does something to you that is not very nice. But Jesus said, pray for them. We need to pray the prayer of Stephen when he was being stoned. And he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Acts 7 and verse 60. We need to pray the prayer of Jesus when he was being crucified. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Those are prayers for enemies in the Scriptures. And that needs to be our prayer also. Why should we love our enemies? Because Jesus taught us to love our enemies. But secondly, because loving our enemies is exemplified by God the Father. Notice what he says next here. That you may be the sons or the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. If we seek to be children of God truly, then we will behave as God behaves. In 1 John 4 and verses 7 and 8, John writes this, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is our example, and we need to follow that example. He gives good things to everyone. He makes the rain come on both the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to rise on both the evil and on the good. Paul said this, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. God has done great things for every single person who lives in this world. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Acts 17, verse 25. And everything, he gives us everything richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. God is the greatest giver. And we cannot outgive God. And he gives not only to his friends, but to his enemies. And therefore Jesus said, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how was our Father in heaven perfect? Romans 5 in verse 5 says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man will someone even dare to die. But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the love of God, the perfect love of God. In this is not love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 and verse 10. And so we love our enemies because of the example of God the Father. And then finally, we must love our enemies because of the needs of all people. Look at verses 46 and 47. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Think about what Jesus is saying here in this verse. We all find it easy to love people who love us. In fact, that's great. That's the best circumstance. When people love me, man, I love them back. I think that's great. But if that's the only thing we do, that's what Jesus is talking about. Just loving those who love us. He's saying, what do you get out of that? What do you get spiritually out of that? Is it challenging to love people who love you? Nope, it just feels good. You get a good feeling out of it. Do you make advancements in the cause for right and wrong when you love those who love you? No, you don't really. Do you grow as a person when you just love those who love you? Nope, you don't grow. Why? Because you're just maintaining the status quo. That's all you're doing. We've got to be better than just loving those who love us. We've got to love our enemies. Everyone has needs. Everyone has the need to be loved. And what we give is so important. There's no spiritual profit in giving what we already get. Think about that for a minute. If you give someone something and they give you something of equal value in return, that's an even exchange, right? There's no sacrifice that's been made there. There's no going the extra mile there. That's just an even exchange. We do that all the time with everybody. In the store, going other places, even exchange. But what Jesus is saying is give when you're not going to get something back for it. Love other people even if they don't return that love to you. The tax collectors, why is he picking on the tax collectors here, right? Well, the tax collectors in that day and time were considered to be a very base group of people who went around and beat people up in order to get money for the Roman government. They were generally despised and hated in that particular day and time. And so, but Jesus is saying, even those who you consider to be the lowest among you know how to love those who love them. You've got to be better than that, is what he's saying. And if you greet your brethren only, what's he talking about when he says greet your brethren? What does he mean here? It's not just about saying hello, although that's good. I like saying hello to people. I enjoy greeting people. But this is beyond that. This is not just saying hello. You know, when you come across an enemy or somebody who's on your bad side or whatever, and you come across that person, you see them, you're like, uh-oh, I'm about to come face-to-face with this person, and I don't like that. And what do? In that circumstance, well, what Jesus is saying is, go up to them, tell them, hey, how are you doing? Give them a big hug, buy them lunch. That's what he's talking about here. That's greeting someone who is your enemy, and that does wonders. It works wonders. We can't just be satisfied with giving what we get from others. We've got to give more. We've got to do more. Why? Because everyone needs to be loved. For you, brethren, have been called unto liberty. Only do not use your liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And who is our neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. Even our enemies. When we love our enemies, we will be like Jesus Christ, because we will be filled with grace, with favor toward others, with mercy. We must love in a sacrificial way. The unlovable, the so-called unlovable, are those who need our love more than everyone. Loving our enemies, probably one of the most challenging things we can do as a Christian. Why should we love our enemies? It is the teaching of Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. We love our enemies because it is the example of our Father, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the good and evil, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. And we should love our enemies because it is the need of everyone to be loved. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? If you do good to those who do good to you, what have you accomplished? Let's love our enemies and follow the teaching of Jesus and be truly children of God. Maybe this morning you need to begin to do that. You realized that the path of hating your enemies and hating those around you has caused a tremendous amount of problems in your life, and you want to make a change today. Now is the time to do that. Come forward this morning and let us talk with you about what you need to do to become a child of God. And if you're ready to become a child of God, through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and we're ready to assist you in that regard. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church to help you so that you can love your enemies. Whatever your need may be, we invite you to come and make it known right now, while together we stand and while we sing.